Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When a giant crane collapsed in Turtle Bay last month, the police and fire departments naturally responded quickly. But right on their heels was a group of average citizens who have been trained in disaster relief. They are called the Citizen Emergency Response Team, or CERT. And among their members was our guest today, John Solomon. John is going to be joining us every Thursday in April to discuss how we as a city and you as an individual can be better prepared to react to emergencies. He's currently working on a book called In Case of Emergency, Read Book, Simple Steps to Prepare You and Your Family for Terrorism, Natural Disasters, and Other 21st Century Crises. He's also blogging about his research and experiences. You can find a link to that on our website. John, welcome to WNYC. Glad you'll be joining us every Thursday this month.
Thank you.
And let's start with a crane collapse. As a member of CERT, what was your job and how did you get called into action?
Well, CERT, my team leader, I'm a member of the CERT for the East 60s Neighborhood Association in Manhattan, just around the 59th Street Bridge. Our team leader was called by the Office of Emergency Management. He then sent out an email alert to all the members that we were going to be called to respond the day after the crane collapse, and we were to report to East 50th. So we were not involved in the direct response. But what we were doing was to take water primarily to the citizens in the area whose services had been cut off. And so we were helping the Red Cross, taking basically water to upstairs to around the neighborhood to people who did not have water.
What kinds of tasks are CERT members generally given? Is that typical?
It is typical. I never had delivered water before, but basically what we try to do is to augment the emergency services. We have staff Red Cross centers after, for example, that Corey Lytle plane crash. We were called to the Red Cross, to a high school, to help residents who had been who could not return to their buildings. We're also help in, for example, the heat emergency. Over the summer, we were handing out materials to people, reminding them that they needed to conserve heat. We have direct traffic in some cases when lights are out. We also are a resource, for example, for the emergency services when they have major drills. I played route evacuee number one in a major hurricane drill in downtown Brooklyn. And so what it therefore really is to support the existing uniform emergency services in any way that we can, in any way they feel would be helpful.
By the way, you can't see John Solomon. You'll be able to see him in a minute on our website. But he is here dressed as, I guess, a CERT team member, right? You're wearing a green vest and a green helmet.
Absolutely. I also have gloves, a flashlight. At graduation, I was trained at Roosevelt Island. The course is 11 weeks. It's 3 hours a night. And at graduation, you are presented with a CERT bag and certificate, and you join your CERT team.
And again, you'll be able to see a photo that we've taken of John in his regalia on our website in a short while when we post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We're going to talk about the CERT training a little bit more in a second, and we're going to talk about whether you think average citizens are prepared in New York or around the country. But I think it's worth saying that it seems to me that people have gotten very cynical about disaster preparedness. It's been almost 7 years since 9/11, and there may be a little fatigue or just plain cynicism from the duct tape and orange alert days. So, do you see that out there? And is there a line between preparedness and paranoia that you're worried about crossing?
Yeah, I think that's the exact line. And I think I'm worried about it. I think government officials are clearly worried about it. I think they want a prepared country, a prepared city, but they don't want to be accused of fear-mongering. They don't want to get the citizens responding to quote-unquote false alarms and then getting cynical about doing anything. So I think that really is a difficult line to cross. I think one of the sort of good news about the fact that we have not had a major terrorist attack is, the bad news of that, that's good news. The bad news is that it has resulted in people not really focusing on preparedness. But I think also, even after Katrina, you would have thought that that would have propelled more preparedness, and it hasn't. So the question is, how do you spur preparedness without an event and also without crossing that line of scaring people?
In general, do you think average citizens are prepared for whatever may befall them, whether it's a crane collapsing on your building or whether it's a terrorist attack?
I think New Yorkers start off being prepared. I think we are used to responding to whatever we need to have. And I think one of the other things that's interesting in doing the research is you find that, contrary to disaster movies and popular ideas, people do not panic in disasters. They tend to rise to the occasion. And I think we should know that, and we should feel that in whatever disaster that befalls us, major, small, whatever, we will react in an intelligent way. But I think there are ways to give us a little bit more information, to prepare a little bit more, so we are a little bit better prepared without going overboard.
And surveys continue to find that a large majority of citizens want to prepare, believe they should prepare, even say they intend to prepare, but few have. There was one Red Cross survey that found 93% of Americans are not prepared for a major disaster. But how would you define prepared?
Well, I think that's there are a couple of different levels. There is one, if you look at what the Red Cross or the city or ready.gov, they want you to do three things. They want you to get a kit, one. And the kit is both your home, a supply for 72 hours in case you needed to be at home in a case of emergency. They also want you to do a go bag, which is kind of a mini kit in which at a moment's notice you could pick up and take to a shelter or to evacuation. That's one. Two, they want you to get a plan. And getting a plan is primarily figuring out a meeting place where everybody in your family would meet in the case of an emergency, if someone's at work or daycare, school. And as well, pick an individual, an out-of-town relative that each of you could call, because sometimes it's easier to call outside than it is to call inside during emergency. And the third piece is get informed. And in some ways, that's the most difficult one, because there are so many threats that we face, from crane collapse to terrorism to pandemic, that there are a lot of commonalities, but at the same time, they are very different. And in fact, we may not even know and be able to predict that threat. So I think the trouble is we will never ultimately all be prepared. What we want to do is move a little bit farther down the continuum. So we begin to do some of the kit, we make a plan, and then we also begin to get informed. But I think it is a lot to ask of individuals who have other things to do this all by themselves. And so I think it's important that the government at all levels is a little bit more active in trying to help us do that, both and making it more of a community building rather than an individual process.
And we'll get more into, in future weeks, the specifics of what you think should be in people's go bags, what kind of a plan to make in terms of locations and things like that. But my guest is John Solomon, who will be with us every Thursday at this time in April, to discuss how we as a city and you as an individual can be better prepared to react to emergencies. And he's on a Citizens Emergency Response Team, or CERT, in Manhattan, and working on a book to be titled In Case of Emergency, Read Books, Simple Steps to Prepare You and Your Family for Terrorism, Natural Disasters, and Other 21st Century Crises. We can take a few phone calls for him or comments page posts at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Or 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, on the general concept of preparedness. And you were just talking about community building / preparedness. We have a commenter who writes that she's frustrated trying to organize her building and wants to know how to get high-rise buildings involved.
I think, well, first of all, congratulations and thank you for your efforts to do that. ultimately, we will become prepared as a city and as a nation through individuals doing exactly what you're trying to do. I think that going to through your CERT team may be a good way to begin the process, because you may find other in your neighborhood, and you can either do that by going to your community board website or through the Office of Emergency Management to find your local CERT team, and they may be able to help you organize your building. You may even have a neighbor who's involved in the CERT. But I also think that you, if you decide to organize your building, go ahead and try to get everybody involved yourself. Ultimately, as I say, this is not going to be a top-down solution. This is going to be individuals wanting to do this, and so I applaud you for trying.
John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Hi.
John, I have a question for you. Anything in your book, or have you done any research on what the private sector is doing on the corporate level as far as disaster preparedness? I work for AIG in the city, and I know we're pretty active out there on the island as far as hurricane protection and, you know, within the city on a host of different things. And I was just wondering what you can do as far as to comment on that and how private sector can better integrate within some of these training opportunities that you talked about.
Thank you. AIG, as you say, has been very involved, and partly because it's related to their business, and they've been very involved in support and supportive of the city's public education plans as well. I think you're absolutely right. I think business may be the key, because the fact is they have the resources, they control much of the assets that are, and they are the place where but they can kind of set the model for how the rest of the community actually does preparedness. They have to do it as part of their general resilience efforts for their business, and I think they have taken the lead in many cases, AIG being one, but other businesses, particularly big businesses. I think the challenge is small business and getting them involved, because they may not have the ability to do that. And I'd say one other thing, which is I think it is important. One of the things you find very quickly is that you have to make sure that every part of the stool is that your schools are prepared, that private businesses prepared, individuals, because ultimately, as we saw in Katrina, the society's response to disaster is really only as successful as its weakest link. So business has a major role. It is fulfilling it in many ways, and we have to tie business, schools, and the individuals, as well as the faith-based community, as part of this a general commitment in the city and society to preparedness.
Mary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning. This is the first time for me. I'm so excited.
Thank you for calling.
Anyway, this is a very interesting topic. I've enjoyed listening to it. And my particular contribution, if you will, is, I hope doesn't sound silly, but it is from the bottom up. And I've always had a small folding boat in my apartment.
You have a folding boat?
Yes.
In a Manhattan apartment?
Yes. Well, it's up in the attic. It's in an attic area.
You have an attic in a Manhattan apartment?
Well, it's one of these.
So what would you do with a boat in the event of an emergency?
Well, you know, first of all, let me qualify why I have it. I have it because I used to go fishing, and it was part of my fishing stuff.
But do you consider it now an emergency preparedness item?
Well, I've always thought about it, which is why I've kept it. And my reasoning is, we live on an island surrounded by, 10 million people, and there's only,
Right, you have to get, I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time, but she's right, you have to get off the island somehow if you live in Manhattan.
And after 9/11, the use of the water indicated how important that is and would be in case an evacuation. And I think it's something that clearly the city is looking at. I know, for example, the CERT team in Battery Park City has focused. In fact, they have their own boat dedicated to that. And I think it's something that is very important to focus on. And I think one of the things is, if we look at this issue in a broad way and sort of get it where we're all discussing it, I think it will make people in some ways more confident that we have a real ability to respond to these things.
Michael in Manhattan, we're going to sneak you in. We got about 20 seconds for you, but you're skeptical, right?
Well, I'm skeptical of a book because I've been focused on this for 20 years, school in New Orleans and now teaching up at Columbia. urban planning, urban design. And I have to say that human nature is such that as soon as we can, we choose to forget about those things that may be catastrophic. And I think that this cannot be a red herring issue. Like, you can't speak of it too much.
Michael, I have to leave it there. And a last word, you're nodding your head. You agree with him about human nature.
I agree with that, and that means we really have to focus on it and do the things that we do in this society when we need to either change or modify human nature as far as a stronger program, more attention, even some support from government. So hopefully we'll get into that in the weeks to come.
We absolutely will in the weeks to come. John Solomon will be here with us every Thursday at this time, working on his book, In Case of Emergency, Read Book. I want to find out next week more about this Citizen Emergency Response Team. Probably a lot of people don't even know that they exist, so we'll let people know what kind of training is involved, how they can join, and I'll talk to you next week, John.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.